Where is the servant? Where is the servant? Let's go to John chapter 13. This is a very important passage. This is a very important occasion. This is a very important event that is happening right before Jesus departed to heaven. It was the last meeting with his disciples. Very important meeting. After being with them 3.5 years. Are you with me? And this is the last chance that Jesus Christ had to make an impression on his disciples' hearts and minds. So, very important. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So Jesus Christ knew. He knew that this was a very important moment in his ministry. During his ministry, Jesus Christ's purpose was to impress his disciples to become humble. And there was a battle. We all know this, right? There was a battle among the disciples about who will be the greatest. And this was because of their worldly point of view. And even they, as many others in Jesus Christ's time, misunderstood the nature of God's kingdom. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom has come. And they thought, oh, this is it. This is liberation, right? This is liberty. We have been oppressed by the Romans for so many time, for so long, that great, thanks God, finally we have a liberator. We're going to be a free nation again, and the kingdom of David is going to be reestablished in our land. That's the vision that they have. That's the vision of the Messiah that they have. Misunderstood. Are you with me? And since they have this vision, they, okay, well, of course, Jesus is going to be the king, right? No question about it. He's the king. He's number one. But he's going to be number two. Who's going to be number two? And during all these 3.5 years, they always have this battle among them. Who's going to be the greatest? And do you remember this mother that came one day to Jesus and said, hey, please, Jesus, I have a favor. I need to ask you a favor. What was the favor? You know that, right? Let my son be one of your right, one of your left. This was this power struggle. And here we are. Jesus is about to leave, and they're still fighting. That's why Jesus, he knew. This was a very important moment. Maybe the last chance. Are you with me? Now, this is an amazing passage for me. This is a very powerful message for myself, for my life. Jesus knew his time. We just read that verse, but I underlined some key words there. He knew. Sometimes we don't know. Knowing is important. Jesus knew. Jesus knows what time it is today. Sometimes we don't know. The disciples, they didn't know. They still were focusing in other things rather than was about to happen. But God is love. Jesus is loving. The Bible tells us, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's very important. And especially in this very moment, he loved them to the end. Why? I recommend you to read The Side of Edges. Ellen G. White gave us an excellent explanation about what was going on through Jesus' mind at this very moment. But still, he loved them. That Jesus loves you today, even though sometimes we're focusing in other stuff. He loves us so much. Let's read this. It should be a typo error there. What did Jesus know? He was now in the shadow of the cross, and the pain was through his heart. Torturing his heart. So it was torturing, right? So this is what's going on in Jesus' mind at this very moment. He knew. Now listen, how many things Ellen G. White says that Jesus knew? Because the Bible says Jesus knew that his time come up, right? So what was it? He knew that he will be deserted in the hour of his betrayal. He knew that. Judas, right? How do you feel when you are betrayed? Does it feel good? Not at all, right? So he knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew, what else? That by the most humiliating process to which criminals were subjected, he will be put to death. He was going to be humiliated. He knew that. Okay? He was treated as the worst criminal. And we all know that, right? We all know that. We have heard that many, many times. What's the worst punishment that a criminal can receive in today's society? Maybe death penalty? But, yeah, and the cross was a death penalty, but it was a humiliating penalty. Are you with me? The cross was meant to show all the anger from the society to the criminal. All the anger. They were exposed. And the criminals will start dying slowly. And they will be there on the cross for many, many days until they finally die. So it was humiliating. He knew that. Okay. What else did Jesus knew? No. He knew the ingratitude and cruelty of those he had come to save. He came to save us. He came to save people, but they reject him. He had come to save. He knew how great the sacrifice that he must take and for how many it will be in vain. Great sacrifice. But who cares? Does the world care about Jesus today? You know, humanistic philosophy. I mean, there's no guilt. We're human. Okay, there's no wrong and right. And religion uses guilt to control people's mind. So don't feel guilty. As long as you don't hurt others and don't hurt yourself, do whatever you want. Jesus, no, forget about that. Jesus, all that religious stuff is to control people, to use guilt to manipulate people's mind. So free yourself from guilt. So this world don't care about Jesus. Jesus Christ came to sacrifice his life for the whole world, but they don't care. And he knew that. Only few care. Amen? Do you care about Jesus Christ's sacrifice? I do care. Ellen G. White says that we should spend at least 1 hour meditating and thinking, even use our imagination, focusing on the last moment of Jesus on this earth, especially his sacrifice, his suffering, meditating. All that Jesus did was for us, for you and I. And finally, knowing all, and this is what really impressed me the most, knowing all that was before him, he might naturally have been overwhelmed with the thought of his own humiliation and suffering, right? Did he have enough to worry about all these things that we just read, right? But he was not worried about that. Okay? What he did instead? He looked upon what? Himself? Did you start, oh, poor me. Oh, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to receive, you know, all the suffering, the nails, the cross, humiliation. No. Because he didn't come to save himself. He came to save us. And brothers and sisters, this is very important. This is bottom line for us. Because we all are selfish. There is pride in ourselves. Starting by myself. There's pride in me. When we look at Jesus and his love for you and for me, I cannot do anything but surrender my life to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. And take away my pride. That's our greatest battle in this life. Just like the 12. Jesus was right there with them. Right? He was God with them. Emmanuel. Amen? But still, at the end, they were still blind. They were still fighting each other. Jealousy. Who's going to be the greatest? Not me. No. Me. I have the right. I'm entitled. Pride. And brothers and sisters, this ceremony is a symbol. These emblems represent the body and the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you something important. It's also about relationships. About what? Would you agree with that? In the context that this ceremony took place, it was about relationships. Because there was jealousy. There were anger. There were betrayal among the disciples. And Jesus was worried more about that than about his own sake. But he looked upon the 12 who had been with him as his own, and who, after his shame and sorrow and painful usage were over, would be left to struggle in the world. His thought of what he himself must suffer were ever connected with his disciples. He did not think of himself. I underline that. Amen? And that's our goal. We as Christians, because we are Christ's followers, we are disciples of Christ. And that's our goal. To humble ourselves and think of others. Of course, please do not misunderstand me. Okay? Because we can go to the other stream, the other side, and be in a codependent relationship, right? Always think about others and not about self. No, that's not the purpose. But the point here is we need to get rid, with God's help, of pride in our hearts. And it has to be with relationships. Why we struggle, why we have fights in relationships, why we have problems in relationships? Because I want to do my way all the time. I'm always right, and you're always wrong. That's what's going on with among the disciples. And the disciples' hearts and minds are identical to us, to our minds and hearts. Are you with me? Because man's heart doesn't change. We have the same struggles. Ego problems, struggle for power. So for me, that's a big message this morning. And I take it to myself first. I need to humble myself before Jesus, before God. So he did not think of himself. His care for them was uppermost on his mind. So we just read in the other paragraph, he has many things to worry, right? The suffering, the humiliation, but that was secondary. That was not as much important as this. Thinking about others. I'm about to leave and they're not ready. They're still focusing in the wrong goal. That's why the Bible tells us he loves them to the end, the last moments. Okay? Then he did something to tackle that problem, the pride problem that we all have in our relationships, in our families. We all have that. We had the need to always to be right many times. You gotta be right. And sometimes we know that we're not right. Right? But our ego is so big that we don't recognize, we don't admit it. We need to help God. We need to ask God for help. Please, God, help me. I want to do that today. There was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They had placed their own estimate upon themselves and upon one another. And instead of regarding their brethren as more worthy, they had placed it themselves first. I'm capable. I'm the one. When the disciples entered the supper room, their hearts were full of what? This is the last meeting. And they're still dealing with this stuff. I mean, Jesus is about to leave. He's about to die. And they're still struggling with this. So when they enter the place, resentful feelings, Judas pressed next to Jesus on the left side. John was on the right. If there was a highest place, Judas was determined to have it. And that place was thought to be next to Christ. And Judas was a traitor. How is my heart today? How is your heart today? Is there resentfulness? Is there anger? I don't know. I don't want to know. Just you and God. Whatever it is. Because this is about relationships. This is about interpersonal interaction. At church, at home, at work. It's time to humble ourselves. Because it's very important. This is the last the meeting with his disciples, and Jesus, you know, was trying to fix this problem. Because the most important problem. We struggle with pride. Now, what did Jesus do? Where's the servant? That was a problem. Nobody wants to be a servant. They want to be the master, right? And you know the story. And I can imagine, you know, them looking at each other. Who's going to stand first? Who's going to stand up first? It was a custom, right, that they're supposed to be a servant who washed the people's feet in this kind of events. But somehow everything was there, the bread, the wine. But even the towel and the basin, the pitcher. But someone was missing, and that was a servant. And nobody was willing to take that place. Nobody was willing to play that role because of their pride. Another cause of dissension has arisen. At a feast, it was customary for a servant to wash the feet of the guest. And on this occasion, preparation has been made for the servant. The pitcher, the basin, the towel were there in readiness for the feet washing. But no servant was present. And it was the disciples' part to perform it. But each of the disciples, yielding to wounded pride, determined not to act the part of the servant, all manifested a stoical unconcern, seeming unconscious that there was anything for them to do. By their silence, they refused to humble themselves. You see, that's what Ellen G. White says. There was a pride. Who's not there first? So, brothers and sisters, as we go now to participate in the other ordinance of feet washing, let's think about this. And if you have something to talk to your neighbor, to your brother and sister here in the church, please do so. This is a great opportunity for us to fix any problem, any resentment, anything that we had in our hearts. I don't know. I cannot read minds, and I not pretend to do so. I don't pretend to do so, but you know, it is something between you and God. Amen? And if you, like me, pride is your problem, at this moment, pray to God. Because He is the only one who can transform your heart and my heart as well. Not me. I'm selfish. I always want to do whatever I want. I always think I'm right. But I pray to God that He send Holy Spirit to my heart and can change that. You want to do that today? We need to get rid of pride in order for us to go to heaven. Did you know that? Yes. And that's why Jesus established this kind of ceremonies and ordinances to help us to be humble in His name. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this ceremony that we are about to participate. Lord, we know that there is pride. You know our hearts, Lord. There is selfishness. Sometimes there's some resentment, some conflicts between us and our brothers and sisters, family members, co-workers, we don't know. But Lord, we pray today that You give us Your Holy Spirit. And Your Holy Spirit may transform our lives, may take away pride, selfishness, anger and everything that is damaging our souls. Please heal us. Heal our soul with your Holy Spirit. Give us peace in our hearts. Please, Lord, bless this ceremony. And everything that we do here will be for your honor and your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.